Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Nerd Empire Wrestling. I'm your host, Jose Jimenez. And I'm back, baby. I'm back with another episode. Last few nights I've been hanging out, you know, watching the G1. I know it's been so late at night that they've been actually showing the G1. 5:30 in the morning, well, you know, early in the morning, excuse me, over here in the East Coast where I'm at. But let me tell you, man, it's been some really, really good wrestling. I had the honor of watching the Sonata and Evil match, which was an awesome match. I think they told a great story, and it might not be the last time that they see each other again in this G1, most likely. I think they'll definitely see each other later on in the later rounds, but it was amazing to see them go at it. Right now, I'm watching the Okada matchup against Bad Luck Fale, and man, he's taking a beating from Bullet Club. You got Chase Owens in the ring just stomping him out while the ref is out. I'm enjoying this feud. We're seeing a different side of Okada. I think he's more vulnerable right now, especially that there's a lot of young talent in New Japan. So it's really good to see guys like Chase Owens get a chance. Bad Luck Fale is on TV a lot more. You know, the tournament looks a lot younger, a lot younger. You know, you got Moxley in the tournament. You know, so far I really enjoyed the tournament. I think Kenta's really doing a really good job. He's finding his footing in New Japan after being away for so many years in the WWE. I think sky's the limit for him. I can't wait to see him go against Okada. I know they're in different brackets, if I'm correct. No, they're in the same bracket, I think, if I'm correct. But, you know, again, I could be wrong. But, yeah, you know, I'm watching this match right now. It's pretty good. I just saw Okada do a vicious neck breaker on Bad Luck. Like, it's crazy how he got him into that inverted neck breaker and was able to do it. Like, that was pretty amazing. Sonata took the loss, and Evil got a nice W, so he got another point there. So I think he has 4 points at this moment. Okada got the W right now. He turned over Bad Luck Fale, pinned him for the 3 count. I think this is 6 points for Okada, because I know on night one he also got a victory against Tanahashi in Dallas. So it's interesting. I know a lot of people are wondering, who do I have to win the tournament and who's going to face Okada at Wrestle Kingdom? It's a good question. I really don't know. I mean, if I had to pick a favorite for me, like, I would go with two options. The first option, I would love to see Okada win and pick his opponent at Wrestle Kingdom. I think that'll be something that I don't know if it's been done in the history of NJPW or in the history of the G1. My second option would be Will Ospreay. I would love to see Will Ospreay get a shot at Okada. I think that'll be an amazing match at Wrestle Kingdom. Especially the kind of buzz that Ospreay is creating for himself on the internet, going at Seth Rollins and going at other people that are in these major markets. I think it'll be a good thing for him to actually headline a Wrestle Kingdom and really show what he can do as a main event star, but also up in weight. So it's interesting, you know. And of course, there's names like Kenta, who I would love to see get a shot at the NJPW title. We saw Tanahashi win it last year and beat Kenny Omega before he went off to AEW. But it was, right now, if I had a pick, I would like to see Okada win it and select his opponent. But who knows, you know. But some of the things I wanted to talk about away from the G1 was AEW. AEW lately has had, about 3 pay-per-views, right? They all been very successful. They sold out super quickly. It's been a lot of buzz behind the talent that they've have on their roster right now. They're building their women's division. They only introduced one title, which is the AEW heavyweight title that was introduced by Bret Hart in Vegas at Double or Nothing. And I know right now they have All Out, when they're going to crown the new heavyweight champion. And I know a couple days ago I said on my new episode I would love to see Hangman Page win that. I think he'll be the perfect person to win that title and, you know, start the company off as the inaugural champion. I know everybody in the beginning thought Kenny should win the title, but I state my claim with Hangman Page. I think he'll do a wonderful job as the heavyweight champ. But to kind of go into a little bit of some of the things that's going on there, I know they're going to be on TV soon. So right now these pay-per-views are building up some of their stories and building up their rosters and showing people what they're going to be really concentrating on. One of the things they said that losses, wins and losses will count. So they will matter and they will most likely, you know, have something to do with title shots and opportunities going forward for a lot of the athletes. Feuds. I mean, right now we have the Moxley and Kenny Omega feud, which I think is pretty sick. I think both of those guys, especially Moxley coming over from the WWE as Dean Ambrose, that's a match that maybe some people had on their bucket list that they wanted to see with Kenny Omega, and now they're going to get that at All Out, which is going to be a very, very sick show. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises in that show, so I'm going to keep my eyes peeled. I'm hoping I can make it out to Chicago to attend the show. I was there for the first All In, and in my heart to heart, I would love to be there for All Out. I think that would bring everything full circle, and that's something that I'm hoping I'm able to do, God willing. Hopefully my job gives me the days off so I can take a mini vacation and head back to one of my favorite cities and one of my favorite wrestling cities, which is Chicago, Illinois. I will be in Chicago a lot this year. I will be there for War Games and Survivor Series for the WWE, and hopefully I will be out there for All Out. So I most likely will be taking two trips, one to the Sears Center and the other one to the Allstate Arena. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, you know, kind of going back to the AEW conversation, I think they've been doing a great job. And one thing that I do say is to a lot of people that want to compare it to the WWE, I think right now it's kind of unfair to do that. WWE has been around for a very long time. They survived the Monday Night Wars against WCW. They've been going strong for many, many years. But the one thing that they haven't gotten since the Monday Night Wars is another company bringing in competition. And I think it's good that AEW is on the block, the new kid on the block. And I'm glad that they have a TV contract with TBS and TNT, and they're going to be able to bring that competition. But they will be competing with NXT more. They will not be competing with WWE head-to-head. The reason why, if I'm correct, they will be on Wednesday nights, which is the same night that NXT is on. We all know that NXT is pre-recorded, and AEW is going to be live. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. Especially how popular, how big NXT is. You know, I think NXT to me is the better wrestling out of both brands between SmackDown and Raw. I think they have the better storylines and the more up-and-coming superstars. And the reason they are so successful is their roster is not crazy big. You know, they're an hour-long show. Their storylines are set and their roster is very small. So their TV time is not being taken away from people who are just lingering around back or been with the company for so long that don't have any direction. They have a group of guys that are trying to get to the main roster. They're trying to show their worth and prove that they do belong in the WWE. So that's the one thing that I do want to see from AEW. I don't want them to, you know, have an overloaded roster where they start having the same problems as WWE, where a lot of guys are not getting TV time. A lot of guys would be left off TV, and I think that would be not a very smart move for them. Especially since they have a really good buzz right now. They're, you know, people are super excited for them. And I think they need to start off with the people that they have right now. Build that women's division. You know, continue building this tag team division, which is super stacked with the Lucha Brothers, the Young Bucks. Then you can throw in Goldust and Cody into that. I mean, you can go anywhere with that. Also SCU. They have something pretty special there. So I wouldn't mind seeing them, you know, just keep the roster where it's at. But I want them to add another belt. And I know there's been a lot of speculation with a lot of people going out and saying that they would like them to have, like, the TV title that can be defended on television at all, you know, every week. And, you know, have one of those mid-card guys hold that. And, you know, somebody like maybe a Kenny Omega, somebody maybe like a Cody, you know, maybe one of the Lucha Bros if they decide to separate and not be one of the tag team partners. Or, you know, you could have it somebody like MJF who can take that title all the way around the world into different indie promotions. But I know a lot of these guys are going to be really, really just significant to AEW. They will be cutting a lot of their indie dates out, and they're going to be exclusive to AEW most of the time. So I don't know how that's going to work if they do add another title to the mix, and if that will be a title that will be taken away from AEW TV and, you know, showcased to other indie promotions. I don't know if that's going to happen. But I know we most likely are going to get a women's title, and we're going to also get a tag title. I know they've been using the AAA title because they have a working relationship with them, but there's also curiosity around wrestling. Are they going to work with NJPW? You know, so we don't know. There's a lot of questions with very little answers that we're going to have to wait and see what happens. But one of the titles that I've kind of been thinking in the back of my mind that I would love for AEW to add on and maybe make that their Intercontinental title or their TV title is the NWA title, the NWA World Heavyweight title. I think that'll be a great title to go along with the AEW Heavyweight title. I think the NWA title is so iconic, so big, where it can match up to the, you know, to the AEW belt. I think whoever holds either belt can stake their claim as the top indie organization, the top dog. And I think that's something that I would love to see maybe, you know, worked out between Billy Corgan and Khan and Cody and the rest of the guys in the front office at AEW. I think that'll be a great belt to have on the show. You could bring Nick Aldis in if he's still the champion at that point. We don't know yet, but that's just my speculation. That's just my opinion. I'm hoping that is something that hopefully gets thrown in there and that does happen, but that's just me dreaming and hoping that it happens in real life. But I'm just, you know, I'm playing the guessing game just like all of you guys. I'm a fan, you know, so, you know, don't blame me. I'm just throwing out my opinions out there and hoping that they stick and that they do come true. But yeah, you know, it's just to continue along with about AEW. They had some very successful pay-per-views, like I said earlier. They have Shawn Spears, the Perfect 10, who came over from WWE, and he's been making some noise between his feud with Cody, and there was a lot of backlash with the chair shot that he gave Cody, which caused Cody to get about 10 or 11 staples on the back of his head. I don't know why Cody decided to take an unprotected chair shot, but it was supposed to be a rigged chair where it shouldn't have hurt Cody to that point. But I think the way Cody took the chair shot is what caused the blood to go. That means for him to get busted open and all that blood to start spilling in the middle of the ring. He took it unprotected in the angle where it definitely did hurt him. But I was upset the way they played that out. They came out and said, hey, it was a prop chair. This wasn't supposed to happen. I would have liked them to continue to kayfabe and continue saying, yeah, I did it, so what? You know, that's what we do. And play into the storyline. Make, you know, build up Spears now that you bring him over from WWE. Kind of very similar to what they did with Scott Hall and Nash when they came over from the from WWE to WCW as the Outsiders. I think they could have had something similar to that with Ty Dillinger. And between him and Cody, that could have definitely played off well on television if you really wanted to go further with that. But they didn't. You know, Khan came out and made a statement, and they kind of, you know, told everyone that this was something that wasn't supposed to happen. So, you know, in my heart of heart, I feel like they could have went another way with it and actually, you know, put it into the story and built up that feud a little bit better. But again, you know, that's just this is me giving you my opinion, guys. I think one of the best matches they had so far was the hardcore match, the non-sanctioned bout between Moxley and Janela. I think that was one of the best matches so far in AEW. Don't get me wrong, I think the triple tag team match between Kenny the Bucks,
against who did they wrestle that night? I think it was the Lucha Bros, and the Laredo Kid was also an awesome match. I think those two have been really, really good matches. And how can I also forget the match between Cody and Dusty? Like, holy shit. Like, let me tell you guys, like, I've been watching Dusty, aka Goldust, for so many years, and man, does he have a lot left in the tank, dude. He was doing such amazing shit in the ring, you know. They told such an incredible story between two brothers who have despised each other for so long, and they definitely showed that in that square circle. But it was great to see at the end of it when Cody looked at Dusty and said, I don't need a, you know, an opponent. I don't need an enemy. I need a brother. And that was a big touching moment, you know, because they resolved their issues and they left it in the ring, and they teamed up and you know, they came together to become tag partners at the following AEW event. But I don't think that'll be the last time you'll see them together as tag team partners. I think they'll definitely come together again. It would be interesting to see against who. But yeah, you know, for everyone out there who thinks that AEW is going to put WWE out of business, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry, you know. WWE is a corporation where they still have a lot of great talent on that roster that can not destroy everybody on AEW, but there's no way they can hold their gym bag to any of those guys on the main roster. I mean, even some of the guys on NXT, like Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Ciampa, you know, Velveteen Dream. I mean, you got the list goes on and on. Like, besides Kenny, Cody, you know, the Bucks, the Lucha Bros, I mean, they don't really have guys that you're going to sit there and say, yo, these guys are better than Kevin Owens. Yo, this guy's better than Sami Zayn. Yo, this guy is better than Finn Balor. This guy's better than Bray Wyatt. Like, they don't have that. They don't. So for people to sit there and shit on WWE and say that the AEW's roster is way better, like, no. Come on, guys. Let's be realistic about this. Don't get me wrong. We're all wrestling fans, and that's what we want, is great wrestling. But to sit there and say that their roster is 100 times better than WWE, that's flat out fucking stupid. Like, come on. Like, let's be real here. Let's put the bullshit to the side and let's cut the shit out. Like, there's no way that their roster is better than the E. And the E's a corporation. They're a fully funded corporation that's been around for a very long time, like I said earlier. And there's going to be talent there that is not going anywhere. Anywhere, guys. They're going to continue to develop talent. They're going to continue to bring in and sign talent from the outside. So the one thing that I'm going to be looking forward to as a fan is what talent is WWE going to actually pursue, as well as the AEW is going to pursue, because there are going to be talent floating out there that it's going to be stuck in the middle of, should they go to AEW? Should I go to WWE? You know, or should I go to NJPW? So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what are the big names that are going to sign to AEW going forward, and what big names are going to forego AEW and go to WWE. So there's still that speculation and that enjoyment now that we used to have back in the day, where we would see big time ECW talent signed to WCW. We would see big time ECW talent signed to WWE, or WCW talent leave WCW and go to WWE, vice versa with, you know, AEW. Are we going to see that? Are we going to see big names from WWE leave WWE and go to AEW? Like, it's interesting, you know. And I know in my last episode I spoke about Nakamura being the new Intercontinental Champ and how they've been doing it to please him, because there's been rumors of him not re-signing with the E and returning back to NJPW. But I got news yesterday that he did re-sign, and Shinsuke is going to be there for a few more years. So I'm happy about that. I'm just hoping that they continue to use his character the way that I feel it should be used. Shinsuke is a legend. He's one of the greatest NJPW heavyweight champs of all time. And I'm hoping that he continues to get the burn that he deserves. I felt he should have been a WWE World Champ already.
I felt the night that he should have got that belt was against Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam, but that didn't work out that way. I think Jinder at that point was too hot of a superstar. He was doing more than what they expected him to do with the world title. And at that moment, they were trying to break into the India market. So what better guy to have with the belt than Jinder? And he wasn't doing anything wrong. He really wasn't. We all know Shinsuke was hot. He didn't need the belt to be over. And they decided to keep it on Jinder. But I think now with the Intercontinental title, rumors of Finn stepping away and wanting to do more. Wanting to do stuff out of the ring. I think this will be the time for Shinsuke to really take over on SmackDown and state his claim and, you know, have a nice little run with that WWE Intercontinental title. And see him, see him with some good feuds. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. There's been rumors that SummerSlam is going to have a good little matchup for the heavyweight title, which it'll be Kofi Kingston against Randy Orton. Oh man, the history of those two with those two guys, I think, is going to be something that's going to be interesting to see. I just want to see how that plays out going into SummerSlam weekend. They can definitely go back and dig into the past and show some of the feuds those guys had. So it's gonna be great. Every time I think about their feud, I think about Kofi destroying the Viper NASCAR and almost falling. But he made it such an iconic moment, which now is even bigger, because now it's for the World Heavyweight Championship. So it's gonna be interesting. But yeah, it's been great. Like I said earlier, in the show, we got a lot of great wrestling on TV. Now that we're kind of winding down the end of summer here, which is crazy that I'm saying that. We got the G1 still kicking off. We just got my boy Tanahashi just beat, just actually won. Wow, that's incredible. I didn't even know that he beat Zack Sabre, earning 2 points on a roll-up. So, man, Tanahashi's still kicking, man. Like, guy's super old, but he is such in great shape. He's having such great matches with a lot of these young guys. I tell people all the time, man, like, Tanahashi is the Benjamin Button of wrestling. Like, him and Taker, like, those guys, I think the older they get, the better they get, so it's good seeing him still around and still schooling some of these young guys. But I'm glad he picked up the win. Like, he's the dark horse to win that title again. I mean, not to win the title, but to win the tournament. Zach has been doing some amazing things over at NJPW, still the Rev Pro Heavyweight Champ. I think one of the biggest stories that's going to come out of NJPW this summer is if Evil going to stick around and with LIJ, or is he going to head out and maybe leave? I know he's been getting recruited by Chaos and a lot of the other factions in NJPW, but it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens with that feud. I mean, with that storyline. I'm very, very, very curious. But, yeah, guys, I just wanted to come on the show and kind of talk about some of the stuff that's been going on in the world of wrestling. You guys know how I do. I talk about a little bit of everything, kind of keep everybody happy. But one of the big things that I wanted to, talk about before I close the show out here was San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. And everybody knows how huge of a wrestling figure fan I am and collector I am. I mean, I even started doing my customizing. So if you guys want to check that out, go to Nerd Empire Figures or our Nerd Empire podcast wrestling page. And you guys could check out some of the stuff that I have up there, some of the work that I've done to add to my collection. But, speaking of Mattel, they've released some amazing figures today. And they've really, really stepped their game up. They're coming out with the two packs. I think the Rey Mysterio and the Samoa Joe two pack, where Rey has the Mysterio outfit on from WrestleMania. Wow. We're getting the Jack the Ripper Finn Balor. Like, what else are we getting? We're getting a Jinder Mahal Collector's Edition with the World Heavyweight Title. We're getting two versions of Dolph Ziggler. We're getting the SummerSlam Dolph Ziggler, and then we're getting the pink version, regular Dolph Ziggler. We're getting another Drew McIntyre with the hair and the tag title.
I mean, God, I can go on forever on what we're getting. We're getting a Seth Rollins basic with the Thanos outfit on. Man, I like literally, I hit my boy Petey up and my brother Gene from Big Heck and Weight Adventures podcast. Definitely go check those guys out. But me and him spoke about some of the figures that are coming out, and I'm like, yo, I'm gonna be super fucking broke this winter, and maybe by the end of the summer, because I mean, just when you think they can't release something any better, Mattel outdoes himself. And I think a lot of this, a lot of these ideas, it has to do with a lot of the customizers out there, like myself and some of the big time names like Reaper Studios, VOD Figures, like those guys have been killing TM Customs. Like those guys have been putting out some sick shit. And they've been stepping the game up, man. And I know that Mattel's been out there looking at some of these customs. I know Bill McKenna's been on the internet looking at these things and saying, hey, we gotta step up and be a little bit more creative and come out with a lot of these signature moments from a lot of these big pay-per-views and start releasing them. They just released their new Elite Wave, which is Elite Series 69, and that Ricochet that comes in that set is by far probably one of the best Ricochet figures I've seen. I've seen a lot of customs, but holy shit did they get this right. The face scan, the tattoos, the outfit that he wore with the wings. I mean, this is the outfit that I saw him wear live in Chicago during Money in the Bank weekend, where he beat Velveteen Dream. Like, this is just sick. They finally came out with a Bobby Lashley, which you guys know how big of a Bobby Lashley fan I am. I love the accessories they came out with. Came out with the tire, the actual hands with the number ones on them. The wrist guards have the black and white tape, the headband or the hat, and the sledgehammer. Like, you can go any way with this Bobby figure and customize it to any way you want to. So they did a super, super great job with that. They came out with the Rey Mysterio figure. Wow. Like, that's all I can say. I mean, wow. And this is the Rey that we saw with the 2 out of 3 falls when he wrestled CN on SmackDown, which to me is probably one of the greatest SmackDown matches ever or of all time. They made a figure to commemorate that with the Rey Mysterio GOAT shirt, which I own and I'm in love with. But like I said, you guys know how I feel about Rey Mysterio. Like, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. But yeah, man, like just to give Bill and Mattel out there they're doing their credit, man. They've been stepping their game up, and I think it's going to be an exciting end of summer and early fall and maybe late winter on some of the sets that they're going to be releasing on Ringside. And I'm already kind of broke, cuz I've already pre-ordered their CN figures, the NXT Wave, the Ringside exclusive, so they're already taking my money. But yeah, it's hopefully one day I can make it to San Diego Comic-Con and see what exclusive figures and what ideas they're going to have planned for next year. Because just when you think these guys can't undo themselves, they put the bar a lot higher, and it's going to be tough for anybody to catch them. And it's going to be a great summer. A great summer. And I will be broke. I can't state that enough. But as usual, guys, you know, I just want to say thank you for supporting the podcast. And I know I was away for a little while, but I promised that I would continue to come on here, record my thoughts and opinions, and let you guys know my feelings and the way I feel on some of the things that's going on in the world of wrestling. But love you guys, take care, and I will see you guys next week with another episode of Nerd Empire Wrestling. Peace.